1 year after jurors convicted a black man of raping and murdering a white woman on Cape Cod, the jurors have been called back into court, this time to the witness stand. In an extremely rare move, the judge in the case is holding hearings on whether racial bias tainted the jury's guilty verdict. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
The brutal murder of wealthy heiress and fashion writer Krista Worthington was both high profile and high drama. Her half-naked, bloody body was found lying next to her 2-year-old daughter more than a day after she was killed. 3 years later, police arrested an African-American trash collector whose DNA was found on the victim. Christopher McCowan said he had consensual sex with Worthington, but denied the murder. His attorney, Robert George, says he always expected race would make McCowan's story tough for jurors to buy.
I must have told them 5 times to be careful of their predispositions because he was the poor black garbage man in an almost entirely white community, just sticking out like a sore thumb.
George is now arguing race did influence the jury. He says 3 jurors called him after trial to complain about blatantly biased comments, like one from a white juror who allegedly said the victim's bruises were, quote, what happens when a big black guy beats up on a small woman.
That's over the line. That's something that has no place in the jury room because race has nothing to do with that.
George says the comment sparked a confrontation with a black juror who took offense. And that's when another juror, a Cape Verdean, allegedly pointed to the angry outburst and said he, quote, didn't like blacks because that's what they were capable of.
That is an idiotic, racist statement that offended people. And there was no doubt in my mind that racial bias was in this jury room.
Judges are usually loath to pry into jury deliberations, which are supposed to be free and candid exchanges, but in this case, the judge interviewed every juror to determine if the comments were actually made. If so, experts say he'll then have to decide whether they tainted the verdict enough to call a mistrial.
There's no bright line rule that if there's an impermissible mention of race, it's over.
Ron Sullivan is a professor at Harvard Law School.
In this sort of case, we give the judge a lot of discretion to determine whether the defendant got a fair shot.
An expert witness, Tufts psychology professor Sam Summers, is expected tomorrow to describe how even one biased juror might influence others.
It could, at some level, liberate me to feel as if it's okay to speak to my own prejudices and stereotypes. It could also make me feel marginalized, seeing the whole situation as the deck stacked against me and say, why would I argue with these people? I'm never going to change that kind of attitude, so I might as well just switch my vote.
In the Worthington case, defense attorneys say it was the latter. 2 jurors who were holding out for not guilty caved when they perceived racial bias they couldn't overcome. While it's unusual for that kind of thing to be investigated, Summers says it's not unusual for it to happen.
There's no magic portal through which you step and you become a juror and you're suddenly free from all the biases and preconceived notions that regular humans have in their daily lives. We know from data that race does have pervasive effects on people's decision-making when they're jurors.
The prosecutors insist McCowan got a fair trial and point to the voir dire, or screening, of jurors on the front end. Candidates were asked 3 questions, whether they could be impartial, whether they'd believe a black witness, and whether they think blacks are more likely to commit crimes. But Old Dominion University criminologist Donald Smith calls that a useless exercise.
Those 3 questions are so obvious that no one's going to fess up to having a problem with any of those things.
Smith says jurors in racially charged cases like this one should be asked a long list of more probing questions, like what they read and how they feel about various public figures. But ultimately, Smith says, biased juries are often chosen not in spite of lawyers' best efforts, but because of them.
It is, in fact, a poker game. And that jury is literally the hand you've been dealt. And everybody's trying to stack the deck. Sometimes they can't help but smile when they see the jury they've drawn.
In the Worthington case, defense attorney Robert George admits he smiled when he saw the dark-skinned Cape Verdean juror. He leapt at the chance to include him, figuring it would help his African-American client. He never imagined it might backfire, and he'd be claiming post-trial that that juror was blatantly biased against blacks. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.